The seemingly endless war between Israel and the Palestinians is pretty much based on land and who has rights to it. The Jews have lived for thousands of years with the belief that the land of Israel is an eternal inheritance from God. The Palestinians believe that they have a right to a homeland, with some of the extremists on that side actually claiming that includes not just all of Jerusalem, but all of Israel. My first guest this week is here explaining exactly what the biblical foundations are for the beliefs that the Jews possess about the land of Israel. He is the rabbi with Chabad of Sussex County, Rabbi Mendel Dubov. Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning, Chris. Lovely to be with you.
And likewise to have you here. JewishSussex.com is the website for Chabad of Sussex County. And let's start with the foundation from, well, as a Christian, I would say the Bible, but certainly you would say the Torah, first books of the Old Testament. What is it that God promised Abraham?
Well, the story of the land of Israel in the Torah is something that is a thread that goes through the entire five books of Moses and then the ensuing books afterwards. The story begins with the third portion of the Torah, where the Jewish story begins, and the Jewish story begins right there together with the land, where God tells Abraham to get up and go to the land which I will show you. He doesn't tell him exactly where, but the destination becomes clear afterwards, that he's to go to the land of, called in Hebrew then, Canaan, the land of Canaan, where he goes and he sets up his tent. All the stories afterwards with Abraham and his children, with Isaac primarily, and then with his child Jacob, all happen in the land of Israel and involve the land of Israel.
And moving forward, if you go to, it's Exodus 6:8, and this is God talking to Moses, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage, I'm the Lord. I read that, and that makes me come to the belief that this is, as I said in the introduction, an eternal inheritance. There's no voiding of the contract, because a lot of the reinterpretation or the modern-day interpretation of history is, well, the Jews disobeyed God, so that voided the whole contract, and now the land was up for grabs.
Well, yes, I agree with you on that 100%. We find that God told Abraham that this land will be an inheritance for your children. God told Isaac the same thing, and then Jacob with his dream, with the ladder, told him the same thing. And when we read the story of the Exodus and the Jews going to the land, really everything in the four books of Moses after Genesis also involve the connection to the land. And yes, the Jews had been banished from their land with the destruction of the first temple and taken to Babylon, but then with the second temple. But that was all something imposed from the outside. That was something that the prophets had warned the Jewish people that would happen because of their sins, but that would never mean that they ceased to be connected to the land. It only rather meant a temporary time. In the case of the first temple, the period of 70 years that they were to be in Babylon and then return to the land. In the case of the destruction in the second temple by the Romans, that would be something that they would return and be in the days and the times of the Messiah, the Mashiach, in the fullest sense of the word. However, that had nothing to do with the Jewish connection to Israel. Jews always lived in the land constantly without any break in time throughout the 3,500 years or more of the connection of the Jewish people to Israel.
Talking with Rabbi Mendel Dubov. He is the rabbi with Chabad of Sussex County, JewishSussex.com, the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And even once you progress past the Torah into the Old Testament, Rabbi, like as one of the many examples in Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance a land which I swore to their fathers to give them. That consistent thread of the word inheritance, in heritage as well, that runs throughout any mention of connections of the Jews and the land.
Correct. I'll go a step further, which is fascinating. I don't know if you've come across this, but the primary commentary to the Torah is known as Rashi. Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchoki, Rashi is an acronym, is taken as the ultimate last word in the commentary to the Torah, being that he collects the key elements of the Talmud and of the Mishnah and of other Jewish sources and puts them in their place by the Torah. His very first comment on the very first verse of the Torah, beginning with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And Rashi poses a question. He asks, isn't the Torah a book of laws, a book of teaching? The Torah, the word Torah, actually comes from the word, Hebrew word, Hora'ah. Hora'ah meaning teaching. And it is a book of guidance of how life should be lived, and more in the sense of Jewish life, how Jewish life should be lived. Doesn't the Torah need to begin with the very first commandment? The very first commandment appears in the book of Exodus with the command to Moses to create the Jewish calendar. That is a book and a half, roughly, after the actual book starts. The book starts with Genesis with a full book of almost no commandments. And the first commandment only appears in the book of Exodus. Rashi, taking from Talmudic sources, states that the reason why the Torah begins with the story of creation is as follows, and I quote, there may come a claim from the nations of the world that you, the Jewish people, are thieves, for you have conquered a land which is not yours. And therefore, the Torah begins with the story of creation, explaining that the entire world is created by God, and God gave a certain segment of that world to a certain people. At various points in time, it was inhabited by other peoples, but when the time came, the Jewish people were to take that land as theirs. And it was for this reason that we have the entire story of Genesis, according to Rashi, is to give the background for the inherent right of the Jewish people to the land of Israel.
Once again, getting back to the concept that people use today in their reinterpretation, that the sinning by the Jews, the disobedience of God by the Jews, voided out the contract. If you look at, again, my interpretation, my comprehension, Leviticus 26, 27 to 39, God brought punishment to the people, but I don't read where he at any point says, you are forbidden from this land. They're being driven out of the land, but the possession or the rights or the inheritance of that land isn't being erased in that punishment.
Correct. You will not see that in any part of the Torah, whether it's the Torah, the prophets, or the writings. You will see to the contrary. Number one, you will see that actually in Leviticus, at the end of the book, you will see that God says, even when they are in the land of their enemies or their foreign lands, I will not cease my covenant with them, because I will always be the Lord their God. That is the end of the book of Leviticus. And in general, you will see throughout the books of the Torah, particularly in Isaiah, in the book of Daniel, and in other books as well, of the prophecies that the Jewish people will eventually return to the land and create it to be their home, and that essentially the land is waiting for them to return. So not only do you not see a cessation of that covenant, you see that although it has taken a long time, the Jews will be destined to return to the land, something which we've seen somewhat of the foretaste of, if you want, somewhat of a great form in recent years.
Rabbi, we're time with Rabbi Mendel Duboff from Chabad of Sussex County, JewishSussex.com, the web here on Issues and Ideas. I think if you just want to step aside for the person who is not of faith or strong faith, and you just want to apply common sense, not saying that faith doesn't have a base in common sense either, if Jerusalem is so important to the Palestinians and their Islamic faith, why is Jerusalem mentioned hundreds of times in the Bible and the Torah and not mentioned once in the Quran?
You know, it's stepping aside from the faith idea and going into logic is, I don't think, an arena where this is happening. I don't think the logical arena is where we're talking here. We're talking here on something which is, very deeply rooted in the various propaganda and various incitement, I would even say, in various communities. And I think there's the logical end of it is not the arena where things need to happen. at the moment. Things got to happen now at the arena of, you know, of really telling people the way things are, and trying to make headway in a way which would be good for everybody in the best way possible.
Oh, without a doubt. I pointed that out, that fact out, only because that's part of the indoctrination that the youth of those who are turning to violence versus the faith use as a stepping stone, a cornerstone, or in many cases, the stumbling block. But hopefully this conversation this morning for you who maybe not be of a full faith is will gain a better understanding, as well as through history, too, because there was a time when Israel, geographically speaking, was not part of a map. For example, among my many possessions, which I bought and really do not understand why, I have a 1930s Webster Dictionary. It has a limited number of maps, and it's a little eerie when you see the amount of Europe that was under possession by Germany this during World War II, and the fact that if you look in the Middle East, that there is no Israel on that map. And that gives you pause to reflect, but then you think ahead to 1947, 48, when Israel geographically was reborn, although the land is an eternal inheritance. And that's an idea that is a driving force for the Israelis, as well as the many Christians around the world who support and believe and care about the survival of Israel, because it is a homeland of faith, as along with the Jewish people. Learn more about the many programs and about the faith of Judaism. That is what's among the excessive amount of information you'll find at the website for the Chabad of Sussex County, at JewishSussex.com. We've been joined by their rabbi this morning, Mendel Dubov. Rabbi, thanks so much for the education and for being here this morning.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.